Let me pray. Our Heavenly Father, we pray that you will give us hearts to hear your word this morning, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Three men at the end of the line, literally, they are at death row, all hanging on a Roman cross. No more hopes, no more ambitions, no time to dream, no time to plan. Superficiality goes out the window because the time of death is near. One of the men is Jesus, and on either side, a criminal. One of the criminals decides to turn to Jesus and hurls insults at him. "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." He had no belief in Jesus' ability to save, only contempt for the one who had claimed to be King of the Jews. The same contempt that had been shown earlier by others around the cross. The contempt of the rulers in verse 35. "He saved others. Let him save himself if he is the Christ of God." And the contempt of the soldiers, verse 37. "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." And now this thief mockingly treats Jesus as his servant. "Save me if you can. You're supposed to be a saviour. Come on, save me." This man, in his dying hour, made use of his time to curse Jesus. He hurled insults at him from 5 metres away. He died as he had lived, at odds with God and with man. But what of the other man? With him, a most remarkable story unfolds. At first, we see a remarkable acknowledgement. Verse 40, the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God," he said, "since you are under the same sentence. We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve." Here is a criminal willing to admit his guilt. Now, the admission of guilt is not so easy, whether it be a young child who's got caught out doing some menial thing, or whether it be something of great enormity. I like, from time to time, to watch a good prison movie. Many of you will recall The Shawshank Redemption. And there, in a prison for hardened criminals, Andy, as played by Tim Robbins, asks Red, as played by Morgan Freeman, "What about you? What are you in here for?" Red says, "Murder, same as you." Andy asks, "Innocent?" Red shakes his head. "I'm the only guilty man in Shawshank." Everyone else claims their innocence. Another of my favourites is Dead Man Walking, which is based on a true story. Sister Helen Prejean, played by Susan Sarandon, as the spiritual advisor to Matthew Poncelet, played by Sean Penn, who is a convicted killer on death row. And he continually refuses to face up to his crime. And with just 20 minutes to go till his execution, he admits his guilt to the sister, to himself, and to God. At that point, he was honest. Well, here, friends, next to Jesus was another man who was willing to admit his guilt. A most remarkable acknowledgement. But secondly, we see a remarkable request. You see it in verse 42. "Jesus, remember me when you come in your kingdom." Now, for someone in his position, it's a bit of cheek, to say the least. It's like stealing someone's car and then, when you're caught, asking whether you could keep it. It would be like having an affair with a neighbour's wife and then asking him if he minded that you use his holiday house. And if ever a bloke wanted an easy way out, he doesn't have to prove that he is fair dinkum or not. No living out a life of following Jesus, because his life is about to end. Jesus had taught that everyone who wanted to follow him had to deny themselves, and follow him, to put their own ambitions behind them and live for him, to put following him ahead of all else, family, career, even their whole life. But for this guy, none of that enters the equation. He's got nothing to lose and everything to gain. It's a pretty cheap faith, we might think. But yet, next we notice a remarkable reply. Verse 43, Jesus answered him, "I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise." No questions asked, no test of obedience, no questions of how many times he had been to church in the last 6 months, or how much of his money he had given to the poor. What kind of justice was this? No justice, we might think. Quite a while back now, there was a story on 60 Minutes of a man whose child had had a serious crime committed against them. I'm not sure whether it was rape or murder, but it was of that magnitude. And the perpetrator of the crime was due for release. And the father made it quite clear publicly that his intention was to kill the perpetrator. The father was charged for that and sentenced to a term of imprisonment. And there was overwhelming praise in the community for this man's actions. The other guy deserved what was coming to him. That would be justice, many people thought. But here the criminal hanging next to Jesus, who on his own admission was guilty, gets told by Jesus that in effect he is forgiven. Today you will be with me in paradise. Have you ever stopped to think why Jesus says that? Doesn't he care about right and wrong? Doesn't he care about good and evil? Jesus is totally concerned for good and evil. In fact, that is why he was hanging there. All the mocking of Jesus gave out the message: he can't save himself. If he is the king of the Jews, let him save himself, but we know that he can't. And you know, at one level, they were right. He couldn't save himself because he was dying in order to save others. He had to go through death to take the penalty that rightly belonged to us. The repentant thief understood something of that. He recognized that Jesus was innocent. Verse 41, "We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." Jesus died the death of a criminal to set the criminal free. 1 Peter puts it like this: Christ died for sins once for all, the innocent for the guilty, to bring you to God. The thief realized that Jesus was innocent, but he also realized that Jesus was a king. Here was Jesus hanging on a cross, about to die, and this thief looks upon him as a king. Jesus never looked so unlike a king in all his life. Yet this man believed him to be a king. He believed that Jesus could save him. "Remember me when you come in your kingdom," he asks. And as we have already noticed, he realized his guilt, his total spiritual bankruptcy before God. He had nothing to offer towards his salvation except his acknowledgement of his guilt and his acknowledgement of Jesus' power to save him. The thief did what it is so hard for people to do: to admit their guilt and to admit that there is nothing that they can do about it in themselves. But it is the guilty that Jesus was concerned for. He was called a friend of sinners. In other words, a friend of those who know their spiritual bankruptcy before God. He dies for guilty people. And in so doing, anyone can come to God. The criminal on the cross makes the kind of response to Jesus that brings salvation. He owns up. He did what so many of us find so hard to do. To admit guilt. To admit that we are lost without Jesus. But this story of Luke, the Gospel of Luke, says that Jesus came to seek and to save the lost and showed him doing it in his dealings with tax collectors and prostitutes and even criminals like this man. We are not told what the crimes were that these men had committed, but they must have been serious. But what God wants men and women to realise is that their biggest crime is independence from God. If we acknowledge that, then forgiveness is free and unconditional. And there is mercy. There is forgiveness. There is acceptance. A remarkable acknowledgement. A remarkable request. A remarkable reply. And lastly, a remarkable choice. Here are two men at the end of the road, two men facing death. Each was in desperate need of forgiveness. Each had the same opportunity for repentance. Each could have raised a voice in a cry for mercy. Yet one of them was lost, and the other was saved. One died in fear, cursing Jesus, without God and without hope. The other died with the promise of being with Jesus in paradise. He died in faith with the promise of entering God's kingdom. My friends, the world hasn't changed. There are those who scoff and abuse and reject Jesus. And there are those who turn away from their sin and place their trust in him, acknowledging their total bankruptcy before him. Those who place their trust in him have the promise of eternal life, of being with Jesus in paradise. But those who don't, no matter how upright or honourable they are, will be excluded from his presence forever. It is what the Bible puts bluntly as hell. The choice that faced these two criminals faces us all. It is a most remarkable choice because there is no important decision that we will ever have to face. It is also remarkable because the choice seems obvious as a man on death row calling out to a saviour. And yet it is a choice that so many reject. Today, said Jesus to the thief, you will be with me in paradise. Today, on this Good Friday, 2012, Jesus says to you, you can have the joy of entering a relationship with me, which on the day of death will not just mean the end of your earthly existence, but will result in entering my presence forever. A most remarkable choice, a choice of death or a choice of life. If you haven't yet done so, will you take up Jesus on his offer? Because it is no other than a matter of life and death. If you have never taken up Jesus on that remarkable offer, well, I'm going to pray a prayer now where you can do just that. Because the promise to to each of us is the same as to that thief. Believe in me, and you have the sure hope of being with me in paradise forever. I'll put up on the screen the words that I'm going to pray. I'll just read them now and then I'll pray them. And if you want to make that prayer your own, do it in the sure knowledge that God will hear and that God will forgive. I'm going to pray. Father God, I am a sinner and have run life my own way without you. I deserve your punishment. Please forgive me because I believe that Jesus died in my place. Help me to trust and follow you and to know the certainty of your forgiveness. Amen. As I pray this, if that's the prayer that you have never prayed and you'd like to pray that, pray along with me in the quiet of your own heart with a loud amen at the end, knowing that God has heard. Let's pray. Father God, I am a sinner and have run life my own way without you. I deserve your punishment. Please forgive me because I believe that Jesus died in my place. Help me to trust and follow you and to know the certainty of your forgiveness. Amen.
Friends, if you've just prayed that prayer, that is a wonderful thing. God has answered it. He gives us his absolute assurance in his word that he will answer that prayer, the prayer to become a Christian. And we would like to know about that. We, as the staff here at St. John's Anglican Church, Asquith, would like to know if you've prayed that prayer so that we can help you to take your first steps in your new relationship with God as your Father. And a way you can let us know that is with these blue cards here. Can I please invite absolutely everybody here to grab this blue card and start filling it out? That is, it doesn't matter if you're a visitor or a regular. If this has been your home church for decades, please pull out the blue card, grab a pencil, which will be in front of you. It'll be at the back of the seat in front of you, and begin filling it out, please.